90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
It's just past 1 o'clock here at CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and of course online at CKUT.ca. This is Modular Systems, and I'm joined this week by France Jobin.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. Many of you here in Montreal and around the world will know France Jobin. She is a sound and installation artist, composer, and curator. Her audio art can be qualified as sound sculpture, revealing a minimalist approach to complex sound environments where analog and digital intersect. Her installations express a parallel path, incorporating both musical and visual elements inspired by the architecture of physical spaces. And she has releases on many labels, to name just a few: Edition Mego, Room 40, Murmur Records, and Line. And I saw that you actually just released something, I think, yesterday.
On the Granny Records. Yeah. In Greece. Nice little cassette.
Okay. And I guess, so your other sort of current projects include the Entanglement.
Correct.
Project, which debuted in 2021, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The premiere was 2021 at MuTech in Montreal.
So that is an AV show with Marcus Heckman, and has now also become an XR installation.
Yes.
I was curious about that, what exactly that entails. Like, how did you translate it to that format?
Okay. What happened is that during the pandemic, MuTech was trying to figure out a way to help artists survive. And so they picked three audiovisual shows that have been presented at the festival and contacted us and asked us if we were willing to adapt those audiovisual performances into virtual reality. So I guess being, you know, who we are as artists, we just all said yes without having any idea of what we were getting into.
Right.
So I can say that was an incredible year for all of us. The adaptation into a VR project is very interesting when you've never had any experience. So the first thing we did is MuTech provided us with Oculus Quest headset, thank you. And so the first thing Marcus and I did is watch an awful lot of stuff that was going on in VR, and we both really focused on one particular film, William S. Burroughs, and I can't remember the title right now, something like I Saw the Future. I think it's I Saw the Future. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that both Marcus and I got hung on to that. So we decided very early on with this adaptation that we were not going to give ourselves a time limit, because when you start an artwork, you don't actually establish a time limit. So that was the first thing. Second thing we decided very early on too is to have no interactivity, because it didn't make sense with what we were doing. And then we went on to a period of 6 months to learn Unreal and all that that entails, like connecting the Oculus to Unreal took an entire weekend. And really learning how personally, how I can add sound via Unreal, which is a game engine, which is not made for the kind of stuff I do. First of all, it couldn't import. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And what happens that Unreal imports at 44.1 16-bit, which is something I never worked with. So that was problem number one. So I had to change the resolution on my sounds. And also, what is very interesting is that you take off from a 40-minute performance, and now you have to reduce it to what turned out to be 15 minutes in the end, which we didn't put a duration first. But it's very interesting to go back to work that you already created and then create another version in an entirely new tool and really trying to figure out, okay, what part of the work do I want to keep sonic-wise, what part of the work I don't keep, and then go back to Marcus and say, okay, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think for you visually wise? Does this make sense? And so on. So we went through 6 months of back and forth and trying to figure out what we could do, only to come to the realization that we did not want to work with Unreal. But it's something you have to do in the sense that when you have a festival like MuTech, who's now changing role as a producer, and so you have to go all in and figure it out. Because if you're going to come out at the other end and say, well, I'm not going to use any game engine, you have to give them good reasons. So Marcus, who I work with, and I really, I love working with Marcus. I call it, this is our no drama collaboration. So Marcus is always happy, always even keel and very humorous.
Perfect.
And after 6 months, we get on Skype, because during that time we had meetings every Thursday night. And then I see his face, which I've never seen before. I've never seen that expression on him. And I'm like, Marcus, are you okay? And Marcus is like, I can't deal with Unreal anymore. And I just went, oh, thank God. I said, I can't deal with Unreal either. So we went back to the festival and basically told them we could not work with that game engine. And the response was that's absolutely brilliant. Laura Baraldi, who is the coordinator of the project, her response was, well, how can we help you? So this really freed us in order for us to find a way that is different, that is not normal to do VR projects. So that's that's exactly what we did. So Marcus went back to Touch Designer and created the entire visual in Touch Designer. And I went with Alex-Lee Gladu-Pilon, that I had met during a film that I made the music for. So I'd worked with him, so I knew he was qualified to help me out. So we went with Pro Tools, pads, all kinds of things. Because the other problem you run into is that when you want to create VR and you want to work binaural or ambisonic, you should start with mono signals, and my entire set is stereo. So that created problems in terms of decoding and coding that I don't wish on anyone. But in the end, we produced a work that we're very proud of, and we were not willing to make any compromise, and that's how it worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think you would continue working in that medium?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Possibly, what something like the five, all of us, we realized 6 months that, you know, into this work, that perhaps it would have been best to create a new project in Unreal.
Yeah, I was just going to say, rather than trying to translate something else into that.
But the other two projects are fascinating, because Chloe Alexandra and Matthew Edwards, they went the opposite way that we did, and the result is phenomenal. So they went and worked within the limitation of the engine with the project that they already had, which actually lends itself really well to this. And they work with Unity, and Lynn Cacho also with her Immortel, also work within the limitation and created something quite interesting as well. So it's really nice to see the entire three projects and see how different they all are, but there's some kind of a running thread to them all, mm-hmm. so it's very difficult for me to explain, but it's really nice to see.
Well, we have a chance to check it out again in Montreal, either the AV show or the XR.
We're doing this year at MUTEC, the 25th or the 26th, with SAT as collaborator. We're doing the Dome version, which is a whole lot easier to do.
Okay.
And actually, I'm in residency now at SAT to present with 93 speakers and 4 subs. And they're all individually rotted, which is amazing. So again, the interesting thing within all of these different formats is, like, as you know, if you do an AV show, the visual is constrained to the 2D and also the size of the actual screen mm-hmm. that the festival or whoever provides for you, right? While the sound is really big. When you switch an Oculus headset, then you get the opposite, where you're surrounded by sound, but the audio is really reduced. Mm-hmm. To, you know, really with the Oculus speakers, which is why actually we all requested people to connect headphones to the Oculus Quest.
Okay.
With the Dome, this is going to be interesting because both sound and visual are going to be big.
Right.
So it's yet another way to explore
a different
this
version
project.
Of the project. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this project is sort of comes out of your interest in quantum physics.
Yep.
Yep. Which you've been focused on, I guess, for quite a few years now.
Yeah, quite a few years. Like, the first album was related to this, was 10 minus 33 centimeter, released on Room 40. And over the years, I've always wanted to study quantum physics, but never had the time, either too busy and kids mm-hmm. and all, so it just didn't work out. And then the pandemic came. Yeah. And I realized that, oh my God, I'm stuck in my four walls. Mm-hmm. I can totally do this, so however long this is going to last. So I was able to study. I had a mentor from the UK.
Okay.
And I was able to study pretty much 2 years straight.
Wow.
During the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which was incredible.
So I'm wondering, like, would you say that you're using sound as a way to explore those ideas or those theories?
It's really an interpretation of entanglement, which is a really weird, strange phenomenon in quantum physics that no one can explain. Like, mm-hmm. to this day, it's not explained. Einstein called it spooky action at a distance because he believed in locality. So two particles or a group of particles that are separated by, you know, large space or whatever, but they still communicate together, and this would imply that they it's faster than the speed of light, so that's a problem for mm-hmm. Einstein, right? And to this day, there are two prevalent theories that explain this phenomenon. Copenhagen interpretation in multiverse, and actually I went da-da-da because of the third one, because I was in Toronto chatting with a bunch of physicists, and they gave me another interpretation, which is cubism as cubism.
Okay.
So quantum and bism as Bayesian, I can't pronounce his name, but he's a mathematician. And so Marcus and I are really using these theories, and we're interpreting them in mm-hmm. terms of audio and visual. So it's not like I have a mathematical idea or something that I programmed in MaxMSP or whatever.
Right. Okay.
It's unrelated to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it must also change the way you think about sound.
It changed everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was a major reboot. Like, it changed the way I think about life. It changed everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So it had a major impact on me. Because the way that I'm approaching sounds, yes. There's also a funny thing in quantum physics where time or the fluidity of time does not exist. So the past, present, and future as we see it mm-hmm. is non-existent. So how do you interpret something like that when both Marcus and I work with a time-based media? Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of a puzzle. So we have to create in terms of how do we interpret these various ideas in a way that it makes sense. In a way that if people have questions, they can come and ask us. And in a way that if you have no knowledge of quantum physics, it won't hinder your experience of the work.
Right. Yeah.
So that's important as well. So. Mm-hmm. And so, personally, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, and personally, it also kind of cured my anxiety.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in a sense.
I could see that going either way.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it could certainly go either way, but then when you realize, when you're studying quantum physics, you realize that it doesn't matter what you do. You know, things are just going to happen. Hmm. And it's all probabilities, and there's no certainty in quantum physics. So it kind of like, okay, why am I, you know, wasting my energy there, you know, panicking about this and the other, when really mm-hmm. there's nothing I can do about it. So it was an interesting process for me to just like calm down completely, which is great.
So I guess this will always be part of what you do from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have other, scientific ideas or other concepts that you want to explore in the future?
Probably, yeah. But I'm not, at the moment, I haven't actually zoned in on one particular, because Marcus and I are still working within the elements that we're working with entanglement, and we also plan to do an installation, something that we've never done before. So in a way that we've never done as well. So we're still kind of exploring all of the areas we can explore with entanglement. And the nice thing about working with Marcus is that when I started feeding him all the stuff that I was learning, then Marcus comes back to me, and then he feeds me back stuff, right?
Right.
So now it's going to be for us to decide, okay, where do we take this next? So
right.
Okay. Essentially, yeah.
So you'll continue working together in that direction, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm curious as well, like, what you listen to for fun.
Oh, okay. Well, recently it's kind of a melting pot of things. I listen to Curtis Mayfield, I listen to Miriam Makeba, I listen to Sly and the Family Stone, I listen to Andy Stott, I listen to Adam. Yeah. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
I like music. I don't think there's no such thing as bad music. So I would say, you know, I mean, I love Johnny Cash. I mean,
it pretty much anything.
Yeah, pretty much anything that's well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And today you brought in some music for us. It's a set of yours.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that I played 4 years ago and I haven't touched since, so.
Cool.
This should be interesting with my MIDI controller that keeps bugging up on me.
Right.
So.
The entanglement.
Yep.
Is
absolutely.
There as well. Okay, well, let's let you get started. Thanks again for coming in, and stay tuned, everyone, for some music by Franz Schober here.
Thank
at
you
CKT.
For having me.
Here we go.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Okay, some technical difficulties happening here in the CKT studio. but we'll be back shortly. You are listening to Modular Systems on CKUT 90.3 FM, and France Jobin is my guest this week. You'll be hearing from her shortly, so do stay tuned. CKUTT 90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
You are listening to Modular Systems here at CKUT. We just heard a live set by Franz Chopin. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And so that was from an older set that you had done a few years ago, you said?
Yeah, 4 years ago at Swanee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
So I haven't touched it since.
So you're just kind of, interesting to go back.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have any other performances? I mean, you said during MUTEK you'll be in the Dome.
Yeah, during MUTEK, and then 4 days later I'm opening for Billy William Basinski at Fofun, which is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Don't ask why.
Okay.
Don't ask why. Billy is booked at Fofun, and so am I, and also Jennifer Moss.
Okay.
So that's on the 30th, I think. Mm-hmm. I have to check that. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what's coming up, and after that I have residencies in Stockholm and in Riga, Latvia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll take you away for a lot of the fall, I guess.
Yeah.
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 Great. Do you have any other releases coming up?
Yep.
Of course.
Two releases related to the Entanglement Project. So
right.
Those are a little bit slow because of the pandemic, so it's very hard to press, like, not very hard, but there are a lot of delays pressing vinyl. Mm-hmm. And so one will be on Room 40, and the other will be on Erototox Decoding label out of the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the new one that just came out, is that related to Entanglement, or that was a different...
No, it's not related to Entanglement, but definitely related to quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in terms of also this whole concept of time, so...
Right, yeah. So for people to find that release, and I guess most of the news about what you're up to, is your website is the best...
My website or Bandcamp.
Right.
Bandcamp has pretty much everything that's in terms of release, and my website when I'm actually good enough to keep up with it.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So far, I think I'm okay.
Okay. So I'll post those links with the archive for today's show. And look forward to seeing you at MUTEK.
Thank you. So do I. This is going to be it's going to be very interesting with 93 speakers.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea how you manage something like that, but
it's interesting. You have to think a lot, and you know you have to kind of like maintain integrity with the actual project, and at the same time, you know, disperse the sound in a way that it makes sense in a dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
is this the same material then from the original AV show that's being adapted
to
the?
Yeah, it is, but it is now reduced to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Because we figured that that's long enough for a dome show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't ask people to be, you know, like, super concentrate on something like that for too long of a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I'm learning all this new software that can handle everything and running
right
into technical issues and the rest of it. So it's, like, it's a never-ending adventure.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been tempted to work on visuals?
No.
Of any kind? No.
I did it a long time ago, but I mean, to be quite honest with you, the amount of time it would take for me to get to a point where I would actually create something that's, you know, acceptable for me is too long. And, you know, also, I mean, when I look at Marcus and what he does, I mean,
Yeah.
Well, there's no way.
Of course.
There is no way that I will ever get to that level. So he's a master at what he does. And I've seen some of the work he's done with other people too. One particular that really struck me, he has a collaboration with Matt Thibodeau in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And some of the stuff that he's done for Matt is unbelievable. It's almost it's like a painting unfolding before you. It's just, so when you're working with something, someone like that, it's like, no, there's no point. No, there's no point
and no need.
In me trying to do that. It would take me too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hmm. I might be with sound and, you know, getting more knowledge of modulars and stuff. That's what the residencies are about in Stockholm with all that, you know, with a Buchla 200 and a Surge. And then I'm going to Erika Synth in Latvia.
Okay.
And
nice.
I'm going to work in their studio for a week as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So that keeps me busy and out of trouble.
Of course. Yeah. There's lots to learn.
Yeah. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
I'm curious again about this XR experience and like how you, because I didn't have a chance to actually try it out when it was here at MuTech originally, but how do you deal with the spatial sort of component of that? Because I know space is kind of an important part of your work, right? Like architectural space.
Well, it's interesting, again, because of the dynamic that the Oculus gives you. Like, you're so closed in. In other words, like, when you do an AV show, you're doing it for a whole bunch of people out there, right?
Yeah.
The Oculus, you're focusing on one single person at a time, so it really makes you rethink the way you're going to create the work, because it's just one person at a time. Mm-hmm. It's not a communal experience. So the spatial thing I dealt with using ambisonic and binaural, so that we have some kind of, you know, idea of space in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually only did that's a funny thing there. If anyone is paying attention, I only did head tracking with the audio during the credits because the credits are boring to read. So I thought, okay, okay, let's do something interesting for the credits, but I didn't want it to be part of the experience, because as soon as you have, and actually I'm saying I, but I mean Marcus and I, we feel that as soon as you have something like this within an experience, it just really pulls you out of it as soon as the user has to do something, whether it is interactive or whether it is moving your head. So it completely changes the experience, and that's something we prefer not to do, because we both like to be immersed into something and just let go. So
it seems very, I don't know what the right word is, not counterintuitive, but kind of going against probably what that headset is designed for
totally.
In some way, right?
It's totally going against what, because VR, essentially, a lot of people who are using VR are gamers.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so,
the main, I mean, I guess that's what the hardware is designed for. So.
Correct. So for us, for instance, we were just at Sonar presenting the immersive collection. It's fascinating for me to be there with Lola and encounter like so many people during the day. And I never tell people what my piece is, you know, me and Marcus. I just try and gauge where they are VR-wise. You know, obviously we get teenager, they want the most interactive, so they get Lynn's piece.
Okay.
Other people that are more introverted, I'll give them my piece. Someone who's just starting, then we'll go with House of Moiré, which is Chloe and Matthew. So it's very interesting to have to juggle what people come with and their frame of reference to be able to suggest to them the best work to experience, because, you know, this is an artwork in VR. It's very different than gaming.
Mm-hmm.
But the community is a gaming community on VR. So it's interesting also because, you know, the works are going to be on Steam. Actually, two of them are on Steam right now, so they're being sold on Steam.
Wow.
Ours is next. So it's very interesting to break into this market.
Are there other artists that you know of that are doing similar work with headset?
Yeah.
More immersive work?
Oh my God, what's her name? Olivia. She's here in Montreal.
Oh.
Oh, I can't remember her last name. This is terrible.
Yeah, let's look it up. I can't remember.
Sorry
Gilchrist?
About that.
Gilchrist?
Yeah.
Olivia Gilchrist.
Hold on. I'm going to go on.
Yes. McGilchrist.
Yeah. McGilchrist.
So yeah. Olivia does VR. François Quévillon does VR. There's quite a pretty good group of artists in Montreal that are doing VR now. Mm-hmm. But they're all doing it independently.
Right.
Yeah. Ida Tonidato also, who's a sax player, she's got a VR piece as well. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting to see where everyone is going with this and also how they're taking it, you know, in terms of art and creating a work with that.
Yeah. I wonder if at some point there will be an independent, like, so-called market, art market for these works, because having them on Steam, I mean, yeah. I don't know if that's like, it's kind of an...
Well, if I base my experience with Sonar, for instance, it was a huge room and we were 15 projects that were all VR art mm-hmm. projects. So that's a lot for a festival like that. Mm-hmm. And we are being booked at other festivals who show only VR. So there is definitely a market for it, but it's definitely niche at the moment.
I think a lot of it, I mean, there's probably a lot of VR art that is also more maybe comes out of the gaming world or like those kinds of more interactive
I did spaces. See at Sonar some works that were definitely more game influenced for sure. You can tell by the visuals and the sound, obviously, and also a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
There were others that really left me a bit disappointed. There was a Richard Attenborough piece, and I think somebody just... is it Richard or David? Oh, my God. I can't...
David Attenborough?
Yeah. Filmmaker, documentarist. And so that was a bit disappointing because the visual was really so-so, and the feeling you get from that is that somebody, some studio, contacted his estate and say, hey, we'll do one of his pieces in VR. And it was slightly disappointing.
Right.
Because the... Sorry. because, you know, the visual was really so-so. And for someone like that who does such beautiful work, you know, it was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I imagine there's a lot of people that want to sort of jump on the technology as well.
Yep.
So you're not always going to have the best quality work being produced.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit
so
of a
that's,
hype
that,
there.
That was our situation. That's why we couldn't work with Unreal. Marcus could not get the resolution that he needs for visuals. I could not get the resolution for sound. And so we came up actually with two versions of the same project. One that is an MP4 mapped onto a sphere. So that's the project that's running. And another one that is a tethered version connected to Touch Designer, which is a completely different experience where the mapped visual is very, very large.
Okay.
And then when you connect to the computer, the version that is tethered, it's like the visual is right in your face. You want to grab it. Like your first instinct is to grab the visual. It's really funny. And so it's interesting for us to have two versions that are completely different.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which one of those is going on the Steam platform?
The MP4, the mapped.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the one that's touring presently is the other one?
It's the one that's touring is also the map, but we also have the possibility to show the tethered version with a dongle if people have a computer strong enough to show it. Because that then the limitation becomes the machine itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Quite a world out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming up to 2:00. I'm going to sign off here shortly, leave you with some music from Birds of Prey. And we have the Magic Roundabout coming up at 2:00 with Andy Williams. So please stay tuned for that. And stay tuned to CKT for the rest of your Sunday afternoon. Big thanks to Franz Jobin for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Yeah. And we'll have you back one day. I'll post your links and everything with the archive for the show. So you can check that out after. and keep in your mind upcoming shows as well. Mm-hmm. Franz Chopin and Marcus Heckman coming up during MUTEC and at Fufun.
Yep.
Yeah.
At Sat and at Fufun.
Yeah.
Quite the contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good contrast.
I feel like I've gone full circle now with Fufun. I used to be in the mosh pit, now I'm going back.
Yeah. So. Why not?
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see you around. And thanks for coming again. And stay tuned, everyone. I'll be back again in 2 weeks with another edition of the show, Modular Systems. Keep it locked to CKT.
cycles music. Which means music from the physical, the mental, spiritual, and from the heart.